The plate layer's motor trolley. It was a fine summer morning, so the plate layers decided to go through to the far end of their 3-mile section and lift a few sagging joints. The doors of an old sleeper-built shed were opened, and the morning sun shone on something looking like a canopied bed on wheels. It was a Wickham motor trolley with a wooden top and canvas side curtains, 3.5 horsepower, 2-cylinder, and built about 1930. They trundled it out along a sleepered path, swung it round, and dropped it onto the rails in the siding ready for running. A flat trailer was manhandled onto the rails behind and hooked up to the trolley. Tools were put on board. Shovels, picks, jacks, a heap of small stone chippings, a riddle, and a large spanner.
"Go and tell the bobby we're going through with the trolley," said the ganger.
One of the men went off to the signal box and came back with a message.
"We can go now, so don't be long starting."
From the cabin they got their lunch baskets, a 10-pint cast-iron kettle full of water, a box of sticks and coal, and put them on the trolley. The ganger inserted a long starting handle into the machine, then peered into its innards and made delicate adjustments. All was ready. He turned to one of the men.
"Give her a turn, Albert."
Albert grasped the handle and turned for a number of minutes with only a slight hiss from the engine as reward. Renewed effort achieved nothing. He stopped, overcome, and panted.
"You have a turn,"
to one of the others standing around. The same thing happened.
"I want to go," said Albert.
The ganger made a decision.
"Get the pencil," he cried.
Not, "Have you got a pencil?" or "Get a pencil," but
"Get the pencil."
One of the men searched in a box, unwrapped a grimy piece of rag to reveal a plug spanner and a thick wagon labelling pencil. The ganger took the 2 plugs out and was handed the pencil. He took it like a surgeon taking a scalpel and proceeded to pencil all over the plug points. He did it from all angles, holding it this way and then that. The other plate layer stood around watching intently, as though it was Constable sketching for his famous mill. They were never allowed to do this. A strange voice broke the silence.
What's that to do then, mate?
A fireman from a temporarily still shunting engine in the sidings, overcome with curiosity, had crept up to observe the pencil ritual. They all turned and looked at him in silence for a minute. Then one said,
"It makes her go."
The truth was, not one of them knew much about the engine at all. Their only mechanical knowledge was limited to putting a chain on a pushbike or mending a puncture. But they all had faith in the ritual of the pencil on the plugs. The ganger blew on the plugs gently, had one last look, then screwed them back into the engine.
"You give her a turn now, jobber," said the ganger to the other plate layer.
Jobber was a large, kindly fellow, always willing to please, ever ready to give away produce grown on the double allotment that backed onto the wall of the local tavern. Most Saturdays would find him working on his allotment. He always had his wheelbarrow with him, was never without it. As soon as the tavern door opened, Jobber was in, demanding,
"A pint to your best."
It was strong ale brewed on the premises. As the night wore on, Jobber, sitting in his favourite seat beneath a faded sepia photograph of a bearded village cricket team dated 1878, would get red of face and retell the tale of the motor trolley running away without anyone in control. Eventually, when he was unsteady on his feet,
the publican would hint that perhaps that had better be the last pint. And this always brought forth the plaintive cry, I'm as jober as a sudge. He never said it unless he was drunk. It was like a built-in alcohol barometer for all the world to hear instead of see. Get his barrow, someone said. That touched a chord in Jobber's mind.
I want me barrow,
he would cry, like a man dying, calling for a priest. They knew if his hands were put on the handles of the wheelbarrow and pointed in the right direction, he would walk right to his gate, where his wife would meet him, put him on the sofa, and leave him all night. He always said his barrow used to lead him home. Without it, he was lost. One night, as a cruel joke, they pointed Jobber and his barrow in the opposite direction. He went down the road as usual and started to turn right. But the turn wasn't there, and he crashed into the church wall. He lay in the road with his arms round the wheelbarrow, crying,
Me barrow! Oh, me barrow!
As though his favourite horse had collapsed and died. After a while, they relented, fetched him back, and this time pointed him and his wheelbarrow in the right direction, thus ensuring a trouble-free journey to his very gate. This, then, was the man that grasped the starting handle. With coat off and hands full of spit, Jobber turned the handle round like a mangle. The ganger did mysterious things deep inside the engine compartment. It chuffed once. "Keep her going!" shouted the ganger. Jobber, conscious of an audience, the fireman was still watching the performance, a man who doubted the ritual of the pencil, and rose to even greater heights and turned faster than ever. His eyes stuck out. The veins of his neck were like ropes. He panted for breath, and drops fell off his nose. The engine fired, stopped, fired again, and continued to fire unevenly, but at least kept going. Jobber collapsed onto the ground and appeared to be having some sort of seizure, but eventually he got his breath back and said,
I told you it'd go.
He was triumphant. The honour of the gang had been saved. The watching fireman turned away baffled and went back to the engine to tell the driver about the pencil and the plugs. The signalman had been to his window many times. 30 minutes had passed since he gave permission for the trolley to go. He had seen the performance with the trolley many times before and had not pulled the ground signal off from the sidings. The engine of the trolley resumed a more even beat and the ganger waved right away. The signalman reluctantly pulled the signal off. The plate layers, grinning broadly, climbed onto the trolley to sit sideways like riding on an elephant at the zoo. The signalman watched them slowly disappear out of sight, knowing they would quite likely reappear in half an hour's time, pushing the trolley back towards his signal box with engine failure. The plate layer's trolley was responsible for many delayed trains, grey hairs, and blasphemy. But all went well today, and after 40 minutes, cleared the section, proving the magic pencil had done its work once again.